test. In about 10 minutes, we will start the October 23rd, 2024 meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, but not for at least 10 minutes.
Recording in progress. All right, everyone, we will now call to order tonight's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookings Administration Building, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call, please?
Lisa Liggins Chambers, Chris Miner, Tony Nichols.
Here.
Joe Omosagie.
Here.
Elaine Palencia. Jen Straub.
Yes.
Jane Sprandel. John Paul Joachim.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here. So we do have a quorum. I wanted to check to see if we had any board members online who would like to request to be admitted to the meeting. All right, well, I guess we can keep an eye out for that in case anybody joins. All right, next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. So any discussion changes that need to be made?
I'll move to approve the October 23rd, 2024 agenda.
I second.
All right, thank you very much. Any further discussion? Probably not. So there's a motion on the table to approve the agenda as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we have the CCMHB and DDB schedules and updated MHB timeline on pages 3 through 10 of the packet. Any discussion? Yeah, go for it.
I think that this is the first time we've shown you a draft of 2025 meeting schedule. This is the dates that we have the room booked. It follows the pattern we've used for a few years, but we're also talking to board members about maybe making some changes to that schedule. It's not approved until January anyway. So this would be just to move a few things closer, like move a few things back to give you more time to think about applications before having to decide about funding. That would be the purpose. And maybe to avoid Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is a holiday. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions, comments, discussion? Seeing none, next we'll move to the CCMHB acronyms and glossary on pages 11 through 22 of the packet. Do we have any new items to discuss on the glossary?
I think Leon and I both added a couple things. We're just trying to keep up with all the lingo. We had missed a few important things, but it's just a few, right, Leon? About four things, maybe?
That's correct.
All right, would you like to share what they are or anything of note that we should discuss?
CESA was the in the last month, three of those changes had already been made. There were CESA and, I don't know, a couple of state agencies. And then you added one, Leon, that I had totally missed. It wasn't HUD, but it was something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, I just can't recall which one. This was a while ago, so I would have to go back and take a look.
I mean, I could go back. We have emails between Leon and me from a month ago about what they were. But is that okay?
That is all right. Okay. We can move on. But thank you very much for keeping things up to date. So next we will move to citizen input and public participation. As always, all are welcome to attend the board's meeting to observe and offer thoughts during this time. I may limit public participation to 5 minutes per person and or 20 minutes total. And I just want to make an enthusiastic invitation for anybody to share. We've had some great public input at recent study sessions that have been some of the most most impactful things I think we've heard in a long time at the Mental Health Board. So if anybody is in person or online who would like to share, you can raise your hand in the Zoom and or approach the microphone up at the front here if you are in person. Is there anybody who would like to share?
Jaya has her hand raised online.
So my understanding is Jaya Colasetti from Races is on Zoom and would like to share.
Yes, if that's okay. Do I just hop in? I haven't joined from Zoom before.
Jaya, we're having trouble hearing you. I'm going to need to adjust the volume in the room. Hang on a second.
Jaya, I can hear you just fine via Zoom, so it's connection in the room.
Gotcha. Thank you, Chandra.
I got it now.
Okay, great. So, yeah, I'm Jaya Colasetti. I'm the Executive Director at Rape Advocacy Counseling and Education Services, or RACES. Lynn and Leon and Kim very kindly invited agencies at the local executive directors meeting to come in and just give you all an update. And we don't get a chance to talk to the board very often, so I really appreciate that opportunity. So I just wanted to briefly provide you some information about how things are going at RACES. As you all probably recall, we do receive support from the Mental Health Board, both for our prevention work and for our direct therapy services. And this last year was the first year we received support for the therapy services, and that was in light of a significant decrease in federal funding. So I'm very happy to say that our waiting list for therapy is now in the single digits, and we do have a therapist who's just coming back from parental leave. So we are positioned to eliminate the waiting list for the first time in a very long time, certainly since pre-pandemic. And that would not have been possible without the support from the Mental Health Board. So I wanted the opportunity to come and share that information. We're also in the process of reestablishing regular services at Lincoln's Challenge Academy, which, again, would not be possible without that support. So we're doing well. We're serving more clients. We're seeing a lot faster response time for folks who've been on the therapy waiting list. We provided prevention programming to over 5,000 students in Champaign County this last fiscal year. So we're certainly keeping busy. So that's all good news. The challenging thing that I want to make sure that members of our community are aware of is there are discussions of further cuts to VOCA, that federal funding source that impacted us going into last fiscal year, that are likely to come into effect, not this coming fiscal year, but the following. So once again, that would impact sexual violence services, domestic violence services, and children's advocacy centers, as well as some other agencies potentially. So we're doing everything we can to keep moving forward, but we are still facing the challenge of not only the significant cuts we saw in federal funding, but the possibility of further cuts in the future years. So good and bad, but I appreciate the opportunity to share with the board. So thank you all for your work and for the support you provide for so many important service agencies in the community.
Thank you very much. Are there any others online or in person who'd like to share?
Hi, everybody.
Oh, can you turn your microphone on?
Fabulous. Great. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to take this opportunity to introduce myself. My name is Joshua Gavel. I use he, they, any pronouns, and I have recently taken over as Interim Director of Operations for Uniting Pride of Champaign County. We've had a small transition, but we are moving ahead as normal. Pride Fest was fabulous. Thank you all for your support on all of our programs that go into Pride Fest, in particular with our focus on youth and families. Our youth and family party had well over 200 plus people there, and it was an incredible opportunity, and that's in a huge part to you all. But I just wanted to take this opportunity to introduce myself, invite you all to reach out if you have any questions. We're very grateful for your support, and we're looking forward to continuing in this new transition period with you. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Can you turn the mic on?
Thank you. This is different than the last time I was here. Good evening. My name is Claudia Lenhoff, and I'm the executive director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. And I hadn't really planned to speak, but a couple things come to mind that I thought it might be worthwhile sharing. First of all, thank you for your support for our programs. One of the things that I wanted to mention, we have a disability application services program where we help people apply for disability, whether SSI or SSDI or both in some cases. We have staff who are covered through other grants that we were able to get thanks to the Mental Health Board grant. So we were able to leverage these other grants because of your support. So we have about 4 or 3.5 people doing disability applications. And the word has gotten out. And so we are completely overwhelmed now with clients. And, you know, we work through the cases as steadily as we can. The vast majority of people who are asking for help applying for disability are individuals who have mental or behavioral health issues that might also be paired with a physical health issue. And we sort of try to see what's the strongest case for the application. And, of course, getting regular care is really important because if you haven't seen a provider in 6 months, Social Security assumes that you're cured. And so, you know, we actively work with people to make sure that they are getting into the care that they need and that they maintain that care and so on. We encounter so many horror stories and people whose lives are coming undone, whether that's their housing, their family situation. Things are very, very dire. So we end up doing some housing navigation and, you know, referrals and things like that. But several years ago, when I first came to the Mental Health Board and said, you know, we really need the service in our county, you know, I estimated that there would be all this, like, sort of pent-up need. And I thought, well, maybe if we had, like, 10 people in this community doing these disability applications, besides Kathy Finley at Rosecrans and our people, that might work. I have to revise that assessment. I really feel like we need about 15 people in this county. It's just so challenging. And part of what's making it really hard is Social Security is really messing up. We have applications that go missing that they cannot find, even if they can find the electronic receipt showing that we submitted them. And, you know, so we're, and then there's constant delays for people. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that this is a desperate, you know, crying need. But once people get approved, all kinds of opportunities open up because now they would be officially deemed disabled. They can qualify for certain kinds of supports, you know, housing vouchers, things like that. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and this is a little bit anecdotal, but we teach a pregnancy and parenting class in the Champaign County Jail once a week. There's a state law requiring it. It's unfunded, of course. And there's sort of 4 topics that are required. But so one of the topics is substance use or substance abuse during pregnancy and the impact on, you know, prenatal development and so on. And but recently we were talking to the women, to the members of the class about, you know, one of the parenting skills, which involves teaching children about emotions. And there's the Inside Out movies, which are great and all that. But also the importance of that for emotional regulation and being aware of triggers and being able to, you know, to handle situations. And one of the things that happened as we were talking about that is a couple of the women said, what if we don't know? We were talking about some emotions, and there were some women who clearly grew up in households where they were not allowed to have emotions. and never learned to identify their emotions. So they were asking questions about, like, what's that emotion like if you feel like you've fallen down a waterfall and you land on the rocks and you can't get up because the water just keeps coming down on you? And it made me, it was very sad, of course. So now we've started doing some sessions on emotions and identifying emotions and all that. But it sort of made me really see that there's so many people in our community, and not just our community, who have these kinds of needs that might not seem overtly like a mental health need, right? People might not understand that they're, you know, struggling with that, and that it, that is within the world of mental and behavioral health. There's a lot of great programs out there for pregnancy and parenting and all that, but there's also a lot of just people out there who are really, you know, struggling with that. I'm not asking you for anything by mentioning this. I'm just sort of sharing this experience, and we're trying to think about what could that look like in our community if there was a way of reaching people who aren't in service or might not know that this is something that could be beneficial. And one adult who I was speaking to, not in the jail, but a different person, she mentioned that her own therapist mentioned to her about the Inside Out movies and was suggesting that even as an adult, that this would be potentially helpful for her as she works on her own well-being. And so I just wanted to mention that, you know, just in case maybe this community, we can think of some ideas, some ways to help people with this. But it's really fundamental. And one of the women in the class said, I need to learn this so I don't keep coming back here. So anyway, thank you for your support for our organization and all the other organizations that you do support. I feel like we're trying to create this tapestry of care and a chance for well-being in our community. So I just wanted to say thank you and share those anecdotes with you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Any other folks online or in person who would like to share now?
Hi there.
There is someone online.
Hi, this is Cindy Crawford. I'm the director of the Community Service Center in Rantoul, and we are just so thankful to Champaign County Mental Health Board for all of your support. We're very, very happy to share with you this evening about things going on here and how your support has certainly helped. Your support helps us continue to be a hub for Northern Champaign County. We all know that transportation still persists as an impetus for problems for people to be able to access services. And so what's really wonderful is that we have this hub in Northern Champaign County where we can provide services that meet immediate needs for our area residents, that fill the gap for food and utilities, prescriptions, et cetera, services that our program provides. But also, we also provide information and referral services to area agencies. And then we have a space, we provide space for agencies to see clients on site to again address that transportation piece. So agencies like Hope Springs with Cunningham Children's Home, agencies like Grow Inc., I saw Brenda's on here tonight, the Refugee Center, New American Welcome Center, Rosecrans, they all provide services at our facility, as well as CUPHD and a plethora of services that they provide. And so we're just very, very thankful to the Mental Health Board for providing us with the resources to be able to provide all of these services to Northern Champaign County. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sharing. This is awesome. Hearing from so many, are there any others online or in person who'd like to share? All right, we will get to hear from a program later on this evening as well. So seeing as there are no others asking to share, we will move to chairperson's comments. So I'm Molly McClay, chair of the Champaign County Mental Health Board. And I actually really wanted to comment on this evening, this idea of having more sharing from our community, both from the agencies that are working with individuals in our community, as well as individuals who are served by our programs and or who may be served by them in the future. And in the last over the last month, we've had multiple study sessions where we've gotten to hear about specific issues in the community and hear from partners who are working on those issues, as well as individuals who are impacted. And that has been really powerful. And so I just want to encourage anybody who is listening that you or anyone you know is always welcome to share with the Mental Health Board any positive and constructive things that you would like us to know. We really, really appreciate hearing from the community, because that is who we are here to serve, and really, really appreciate hearing from agencies as well, and hearing from agencies how the services have been impacting others. So I also just want to acknowledge this is a difficult time of year. We're getting into winter, darker, colder months, and we're also approaching, obviously, an election. And I know that I've seen an uptick in people wanting to talk about that, because it can be very, very stressful. So I just want to make sure everyone knows that, you know, all of these mental health services that we help to support are here for you if you need support during this time, and to thank all of the agencies for their work, as well as all of our staff for their work in supporting these programs. So those are my comments. And now we will move on to comments from our executive director, Lynn Canfield.
So I would like to mostly defer my comments, because we're going to lose our quorum and we have some time-sensitive action items in this related to money. So the one comment I want to make is that I did find my email with Leon. We made 7 changes to the glossary, 6 of them back in June, so you've seen them. But the one that Leon caught that I had missed was EMS. Like, I don't know how I never thought of EMS in all these years. So thank you, Leon. That's I just felt I owed you that follow-up. We're good, though. Okay.
With that, would it be a good idea to move any of the action items that are later in the agenda that require board approval to earlier in the agenda, like the budget discussion, if we're afraid we may lose our quorum? So that's a question for staff and board.
You've already approved the agenda as is, so I think that would take some, you'd have to do some formal stuff. Maybe we just kind of go fast.
I will do my very, very best to go quickly. All right, so we will move next to approval of the CCMHB board meeting minutes on pages 23 to 29. So we have minutes from September 18th and September 25th, meeting and study session respectively, included for approval. So we need action to approve these. Any discussion and or motions?
Move to approve both minutes from the September 18th, 2024 meeting and the September 25th, 2024 study session.
Second.
Thank you very much. We have a motion and a second. Motion to approve the, any further discussion? Seeing none, there's a motion on the table to approve the September 18th and September 25th, 2024 minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Next, we have the vendor invoice list on pages 30 to 42. An action is requested. Any discussion or motions?
I think I'll just keep it brief for my, because I'm the risk here.
I'll move to approve the vendor invoice lists on pages 30 through 42.
Thank you. Any second?
I second.
Thank you very much. We have a motion to approve the vendor invoice lists and place them on file. Any further discussion or questions about them? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the vendor invoice lists and placing them on file, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are approved. I have no problem trying to go quickly myself, but that does not mean that the discussion has to be quick. So next, we have the staff reports on pages 43 through 57. So included for information, we have reports from Kim Bowdry, Leon Bryson, Lynn Canfield, Stephanie Howard-Gallo, and Chandra Somerville. Any discussion or questions about the reports? Okay, so I did have a couple of questions. I will try to go quickly. For Leon, for your report on page 46, would you mind sharing a little bit more about the – so I want to make sure – do I spell out the acronym or say it? S-O-F-T-T – LANS program, or yeah. Is that how Jed you? No. On page 46 of the report, would you mind sharing a little bit more about that meeting?
Yes, I think you have the acronym correctly. This is a cooperative involvement of parents and social services, churches, and other community agencies and programs, which is designed to help children and their families. We meet the third Wednesday of every month. Part of what's happening in these in these meetings currently, we're trying to streamline the meetings, making them more effective with there's a new updates form for agencies to fill out and submit the Friday before the meeting so that the meetings are more efficient, time sensitive. Also, we've gone from in-person back to virtual, which is another way to recruit and retain agencies. We have a list. We have a variety of agencies that are participating in the committee meetings, from Crisis Nursery to Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, United Way. We are participants, and the list just goes on. And so we're looking for more agencies that are working with youth and families.
Awesome. Thank you very much for sharing about that. And if any folks who are listening or here want to get involved, it sounds like that would be a prime opportunity. I also had a question for Chandra about on page 56 regarding the organizations that had special provisions to finalize their contract regarding their CLC technical assistance. There was a note about Courage Connection, and I was wondering what the status of that contract finalization was.
Chandra, I think you're muted.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. They have updated their CLC plan. That was one of the things they were supposed to do with the contract provision. And they also had feedback from me as well with their new staff person.
Awesome. Thank you very much for clarifying that. And I also had a question for Lynn about on your report, page 51. This may be early, but I was wondering if you would be willing to share more about the Massey Commission and your role with that.
That's
Because I'm the president of the State Association of Mental Health Boards and DD Boards around the state, in Sangamon County, they're trying to pass a referendum to establish a mental health board. So they wanted a couple people from the organization to come and speak. I think I'm probably the most terrible, but because I'm the chair of that association, I'm going to do it. And then there's a man who has helped a whole bunch of communities get referendums passed and establish mental health boards, and he's done it with such optimism and joy and purpose. He's going to speak too. And most recently, we have added Molly McClay to the lineup. She's going to speak to them too. This is just in response to the tragedy over in Springfield. Sangamon County has finally decided that a mental health board might help them to fill in some of the gaps in their crisis response system. And that's basically what we're doing.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I just got involved with that. I grew up in Sangamon County and lived there for many years. I had worked in mental health services there. I actually was not aware until very recently that they did not have a mental health board. So I'm excited to get to, you know, talk to some folks that I've, you know, potentially known for a long time in my community. So thank you for sharing more about that and the important work of this commission. Does anybody else have questions about the staff reports or comments? All right, seeing none, we can move on to new business. Before that, I just wanted to check, are there any board members online who are requesting to be admitted remotely? All right, it appears none right now. So is it fair to move on to the presentation?
There's a... Your packet has an older version of the presentation. They sent us an update today. It's been posted, and I'm going to share the screen. I don't know. I don't know how different it is, but the right one is on your screen. I'll try to keep up.
So first item of new business is a presentation from the Summer Youth Programs, which the PowerPoint that is now going to be updated is on pages 58 through 67 of the packet, and I'd like to ask Leon Bryson to please introduce our presenters.
Oh boy. The wait is no longer. They are here. We have all the materials that we need. So without further ado, I want to introduce Miss Amy Brown from Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club and Mr. Tracy Parsons from Champaign County Community Coalition, and they will be presenting on the Community Coalition Summer Initiatives. And along with them, they brought some very, very special guests. We have some VIPs in the back. We have Lincoln's Challenge cadets here. We also have Miss Yvonne Miller from Cry for You, and I believe Mr. Williams also from the same organization. So I will stop talking and let you all take this away.
Okay. Well, good evening. We are so happy to be here because we could not be more proud of this coalition project for summer. Particularly for the youth of our community, but for families as well. And so none of these, we can go on to the next slide. We have several different organizations that you've seen before. Some are new, some are from the past, new initiatives that are very carefully selected through the coalition process. And are presented with the opportunity as a, most of the time, a grassroots organization who may not otherwise have the means to do some of the greatest ideas to fill gaps in our community that you could ever imagine. So we'll talk a little bit about that moving on. But the next slide is a little bit of detail to show you the detail that we are beginning to really align ourselves with in regards to the requirements for insurance, the requirements for important training. So all of the persons that you saw on the list ahead of this slide have now engaged in the same processes that and trainings that the Boys and Girls Club of America requires. And so that includes training on how to plan programs and how to introduce programs and how to make sure that all the pre and post test type processes are in order so that we can measure what we're doing and we can have some outcomes and some data that will help us determine if this is where we should be spending our time. We're asking everybody to, we're making sure that everybody has insurance coverage. And these are new additions to the past. And I will admit that they've been a bit cumbersome for the organizations that we're working with, but all of you are at the table and understand the rules and regulations that we all have to follow. And so we're taking the time to teach these organizations some of these important processes if they don't already know. Some do. So they're getting their W-9s to us. They're working on budgets. We're making sure that everybody has sexual harassment training, which is a new requirement with this project. We're making sure everybody has youth safety training. And the reason why the whole right side is blank is because I didn't want to put the names up there of the organizations that might be, and the red's not bad, and the red just means that we were still working with them at the point that this was printed. But I wanted to give you a sample of how Tracy and I are monitoring this each step of the way as we move through. So that's kind of the boring stuff. The fun stuff is what Tracy's going to talk about, and he's going to tell you how we're rolling these programs out.
All right. So once again, Mental Health Board, this is part of the really exciting work that we're able to do as a community to support our community organizations. And one of the real strength of this partnership that we've had over the last number of years is that we're able to work with startup organizations, we're able to work with individuals who have great ideas and might not be part of a connected organization like a Boys and Girls Club or some of the other things. So we've been able to help startup organizations and individuals establish their organizations and really take ideas. And they're the ones often in the communities, in the neighborhoods, in the trenches doing that really difficult work. So this is just a perfect collaboration and partnership that we've put in place, and I just want to say thank you. Also want to say thank you to the Boys and Girls Club because obviously they provide the foundation, the contract with you, but also the structure that we just talked about to ensure that our organizations are learning, starting, but also learning to do things the right way and building capacity and all of those wonderful things. Almost all of the projects that we started or are working with are now partnering with our schools and with other organizations and involved in the community in a number of different ways. And often the start has come through here, through our project. So I know you're short on time. I'm not going to go through as much as I do regularly talking about the projects, because I've got a couple that I really want to highlight. So that's what she said is a summer project. They're doing phenomenal work with young ladies, girls in our community. Next slide, please, Lynn. And we've just been working with this organization. Keep going. I'm going to go through. Let me stop here with Dixon All-Stars. This is a group of young men who are working with other young students to use basketball as a vehicle to reach and mentor and work with young folks. And so Jamie Dixon, who's the point person on this, is just really one of our success stories. So I won't go into a lot of the detail, but Kewan Carrington that was involved in an officer-involved shooting in 2009 that led to the development of the coalition, all of those things, was a very, very close friend of the young man that was shot. And so now he's gone on and come back to the community He works full-time for Unit 4, but also he now leads this Dixit All-Stars traveling basketball team. Phenomenal young man and the perfect example of what we have and what we want to do for our young folks, to show them that they can be successful, they can have a role and make a difference with young folks coming up. So I just always like to highlight the work that we're doing with Dixon All-Stars. Next slide, please. So, and this is just next line, please, Lynn. This is just talking a little bit more about all the different things they do. We worked with an entrepreneur and business organization this year for the first time, talking about entrepreneurship, working with youth, with a number of different community organizations partnering on this work. Next slide, please, Lynn. And, next slide, please. So I want to spend just a moment. I want to yield some of my time. So Ms. Miller is here with us. Since our gun violence really increased in 2015, one of the things as a community we've really struggled with is how to provide support for the family members who have lost loved ones through these tragic incidents. And a couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to meet and talk with Ms. Miller about her vision for creating a safe space. And Cry for You is just, I'm so proud of her for going through these tough challenges as a group that meets monthly. We were able to fund through this initiative a celebration for the moms and the families to talk about their loved ones. So I'm going to pause because Ms. Miller's here with her young cadets, and she's going to come up and... Mm-hmm. Oh, there. Yeah. They did care. They were doing well.
Good evening. I first want to thank the Mental Health Board and the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club for providing the funding to help us with our first annual Sons in Heaven Gala. A Cry for You is a place where we meet weekly for mothers to offer the grief, because where else can they go with one another to grieve with each other? We all understand each other. So with that being said, we've also established what else can we do. So now we're trying to move forward to help other families that are struggling, that haven't made it to our group, but we can help them some kind financially and emotionally to provide a safe space for them. Our grief group meets weekly, and we've had our first annual Sons in Heaven Gala, which was October the 5th. And it was just a fundraiser. We thank you for the funding. It was just an evening of healing and memories of our lost loved ones, because gun violence is so prevalent out there, and it's just something that we can't prevent, but we can help each other get through each day. So we're hoping that we can have a relationship with you so that we can offer this on a yearly basis. This year we had a speaker who spoke on his brother's death. We also had survivors that came and spoke, which was very helpful for us. So with that being said, I thank you all again, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
So, you know, we come here each year and we just talk about the great impact that we're having, right? But nothing means more than having her share with you the direct impact we've had in putting that together. So just much respect for Ms. Miller and her work and tenacity to work through a very difficult, challenging space that we wish on no one, right? And we've had a number of attempts to try to organize the family members, and it's been very difficult. And so her ability to put the organization in place. So thank you, thank you. All right, next slide, please. All right, so, you know, Mr. Williams is here, and we're not going to talk about this a lot other than to say, again, this is another new initiative that we've been working with to help get put in place, that's not only started here, but also now working with the schools and working with other community groups to talk to young people about financial wealth and finances and money and checking accounts and investing and stock markets and all those things. I've gone to some of the sessions, and really there's some young folks that are blowing me away with all of this. And so Sean's going to come up and just say thank you after we get done. But the Wall Street Jewelers is one of the things I'm really, really proud of that we've been able to do, first-time initiative. And then I'm going to close with, next slide, please, Lynn, our second annual Black Mental Health and Wellness Conference taking place this Saturday at Parkland College. I was sharing with Amy as we were sitting down, we're up to 180 registrants for the event this weekend, second year event. Donna Tanner Harold is the facilitator, the chair of the event, and coordinates and puts it all together. We're dealing with grief. We're dealing with wellness. We're talking about just what is the difference between mental health and mental wellness, and just really doing some community education. We have a keynote coming out of Chicago's speaker. All of the presenters are local and regional experts in their field. Really just going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal event. Our second annual, we're moving towards, looks like it might be an annual event, but just really, really proud of this event for our community. And just thank you for the board and the support and the investment and putting the infrastructure in place and the supports in place through the club in today's environment is so important, right? And so helping organizations with sexual harassment training and how to work with young people is something we're all experiencing and going through. So we're going to stop there. I want Sean to just come up real, real, real quick, Sean. And he knows that I know when he gets on the mic, you know.
hey, so I'll be real fast. I want to first thank you guys for just allowing us to just be a part. We work with youth in our community on financial literacy, so I'm working with them on budgeting, banking, and investing. And so we'll be working with youth over at schools with Champaign, Centennial, and Central on this week. One added benefit that we added to the program was financial trauma. So dealing with financial trauma coming from backgrounds of poverty, and how do we overcome those challenges that we might see mom and dad have. And so we're working with that as an added piece to our program. And so I thank you once again. Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, Ms. Amy, from the Boys and Girls Club. Thank you very much.
I don't know if there's any questions for us, but.
Yeah, feel free to please. We'd love to stay. Sorry for the rush.
I just want
everyone to know, like, we can have a wonderful discussion and take our time with that, because this is, you know, the heart of what we're doing here is hearing about these wonderful programs. So I would just invite board members, anyone who might have questions or comments you'd like to share now.
Thank you so much for the wide just spectrum of the work that y'all all are doing for our community. It's a big deal.
Thank you.
I have a question for Tracy. Is this open to all youth in Champaign County?
Absolutely, yes. That's part of the application process with all of them, and part of our training is that all the programs need to be open to any youth that wants to participate.
Each year we are doing some programming up in Rantoul. We're doing programming throughout the county, often through the organizations they're doing. You know, that's where the work obviously takes place. So organizations are doing the work throughout. Yeah. So throughout the county. Yes.
Any other questions?
To like the school districts?
What was that question?
I was asking if they reached out to the school districts, like at the high school levels.
Yes. All of the different providers have different methods of reaching out, but we emphasize the importance of connecting with the schools. We do quite a bit of PR. The coalition is updated and informed of all of the projects that we have. So there are hundreds of youth that are participating in these programs.
And obviously we partner with the schools. You know, our first intent is the community organizations, but as Sean mentioned, to have the community organizations now partnering with the school districts and bringing the programs and services in there is the approach we want to take. Through the years, we've had direct programmings through the schools, but our first intent is to look at the community organizations and then connect them back to the schools.
Thank you. And I just want to clarify, this is actually board discussion time right now, but I would like to ask anyone who might be online or in person who's not a board member, if you want to ask a question, I will open that up at the end here. But any further questions or discussion from board?
Thank you. I got to go.
And so a quick sidebar, Lynn, I did get a call about from Springfield. So as you're working over there, called to see about our community coalition and how do we do community engagement. And so if you are over there and there it comes up, you can offer it off.
I just wanted to also say thank you very much for everything. I think just hearing about some of the topics tonight that have been covered by some of these programs are not ones we hear about as often, hearing about grief, hearing about financial trauma. And I think that just goes to show how important it can be to bring together all of these wonderful creative minds to support our community. So thank you very much for everybody who spoke tonight and everybody involved with this program for what you do. All right. So next we will move on to our next item of new business, which is the program year 2024 funded program utilization summaries on pages 68 through 81. And I'd like to ask Lynn to please share more about these.
This is something that we've been putting together every year for quite a while. It'll end up in your annual report, so you'll see it again in the spring. We can't do the annual report until 2024 is over, but we can talk about the program year 24 because that is over. So what happened here is Leon Bryson and I went through all of the we went program by program and did some updates, and you can see where the agency started. Utilization targets is their prediction that they included in the applications, you know, a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah.
And then the actual is the comparison with what happened. In this document, they don't address why there might be differences in what actually happened. These are just really brief overviews to show what we spent money on and, you know, just basic numbers served. So there is a really amazing long form document that is linked here. I'm going to see if it works. If I'm going to link to it right now. This is the program outcomes report. This is compiled from every agency, every program that you funded in PY24. 224 pages. So it's a lot. It's too big to put in a board packet, but it has information about what worked, what didn't work, why in some cases why a target might not have been met or why it was exceeded. And then it also talks about all of the outcomes. This is the only time during the year that a report is provided about outcomes. It's just at the end of the year all that information is shared. So per program, there's a description of what happened with each outcome, and then there are some of them have case studies. This is a really interesting and fun document, but it's very hard to summarize. So we didn't even try. We just So if you want to go back to the other one, the first one that's in the packet, if you have questions about that, Leon and I both are pretty dang familiar with that. But this is I just really want to point this other report out to you because I think it's great. And it really does get to the heart of what you're doing with this money. And it's posted in a couple of public places. Okay.
Do board members have any questions or comments?
So, I mean, you know, I think with approving funding for some of these different programs, I do want to just, you know, commend a lot of these groups for excelling and seeing more treatment plans, seeing more clients than expected. Specifically, like CU Early did a really good job at seeing 30 instead of 23. This is where they have a home visitor for bilingual families or families that are Spanish-speaking mainly, but also other languages as well. And I really wanted to see them increase their volume, and they did a really fantastic job. So just wanted to say thank you for that. And I know we're limited on time, so I was wondering if... Joe's gone. I was going to ask if you wanted to send maybe races an email and just ask about why they're... TPC was only 37 when the target was 170 for the amount of, you know, clients and patients that they were serving for counseling. This was a new funding that we gave $140,000 for. So I know they had one person they said on family leave, and I know the waiting list is going down to single digits. But if the waiting list is going down that quickly, why is the TPC so low?
I can look in that big report right now and see if I can find the answer because Jaya has left the Zoom meeting. So, but anyway, while y'all are talking about other stuff, I'll look for that.
Or you can always email her too, you know.
Yeah. Any other comments or questions on this?
And I'd also say Promise Healthcare did a fantastic job looking at their numbers, especially for psychiatric utilization. It was a target of 1,000, and they had 3,100 for their TPC. And then counseling, they almost tripled what they were had as their target. So they did a very fantastic job as well for providing mental health services in the community. So also great job for Promise Healthcare.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I was kind of going through and underlining anytime the actual utilization was higher than the target. And, you know, most programs, with a few exceptions, had at least some area where they had a higher utilization than target. I did have some questions about some of those services that you mentioned, John. I was also wondering about Courage Connections. Target and actual were for treatment plan clients were also a bit different as well. But I just wanted to, you know, commend everybody for their great work on that. Any other discussion from board? All right, seeing none, we can move on to our next item of new business, which is PY 2024 and 2023 demographic and residency data on pages 82 through 110. And I would also defer to Lynn and any other staff that she wants to designate to share more about this fantastic project.
So I'm going to say that I did just now look in that 225-page performance outcome report, and this issue is not specifically addressed, so I will email races tomorrow, or Leon and I will email and find out what happened, and we'll let you know. Okay, so this project this started because of conversations that the board ended up having during April and maybe even into May about some actually really important things that are hard to glean from the applications or from our staff assessments of applications. But we do collect lots of data, so we could answer questions sort of. So what we did, this was really fun. I was just looking at data. Chandra gave this a little bit more like meaning. I was just going to count numbers and compare them, because that was really fun for me. But Chandra added some meaning to it, so she might want to speak to it too. We developed a memo in which we're telling you the things, the cautions that we would have around the data for a few different reasons, and then some of the observations in each of the four categories that we thought were most important to talk about. And we focused on successes. What we were looking for was an increased share of people served per program who either identified as Black or Hispanic or rural, other not Muhammad, but other rural, and then Rantoul residents, because these are four groups that are traditionally underserved in Champaign County despite so many efforts. And so we pointed to all the successes in each of those four categories, and then Chandra went shopping around in the CLC reports themselves and found some potential reasons for the successes. So she's here, and I think I'll stop talking now, but if you have questions, we're both available, but she can tell you about the meaning.
So I wanted to make sure that I showed evidence of how their training and practices or policies that they had instituted were actually as a result of increased engagement of these communities. And so when we had first started putting this together, we only were focusing on the demographics, but I wanted to show you how this is connected to their cultural and linguistic competence reporting.
All right. Thank you both very, very much for sharing this and for your work on this. I would open it up to any board discussion or questions.
This is a report style that we had not done historically. It was really fun to do, but I think that we had a very unique opportunity with PY 23 and 24, and that was that so many programs continued pretty much intact. The main difference would be increased revenue and increased expenses, but not a whole lot of change to the programs themselves. We don't always have 2 years that are so comparable.
I just wanted to note that, we have had some intense discussions about, making sure that the programs that we're funding are reaching diverse populations. And I was really pleased to see, some of the programs that we were discussing as hoping to have a stronger reach of Black and Latine individuals did so between PY23 and PY24. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, especially seeing, we had a lot of conversation about Rosecrans, seeing Rosecrans have increases in those areas was really positive, as well as everybody else that did as well. And seeing that tie into the work that everybody is doing around cultural linguistic competence and their plans for that, seeing that through line is really impressive. Any other discussion?
I would also point out Promise Healthcare serves a great amount of our mental health services for our Latino and Hispanic population based on this demographics. So just pointing out how vitally important that agency has been in providing that service to our community. So again, thank you, Promise Healthcare, for being that, that part of our service in the community. So thank you.
Or any other discussion? All right, seeing none. So we have a couple of items on our agenda that we unfortunately cannot cover now due to us having lost a quorum. I just want to, you know, state for the record, discussion of offering a contract to the executive director and the revised draft budgets for fiscal year 2025 are two items that needed action. So we will have to postpone those to a future meeting. So we will then move in old business to the evaluation capacity building project update. So my understanding is we have, are they on Zoom?
They are.
We have a
yes.
Zoom update from the team. So take it away.
Hi, sorry, I'm using my phone. I was having some tech issues. So we have been moving along with the evaluation capacity building. And I think the most important update to share is that we have finally selected a date for the evaluation outcome workshop that we've put together and we're excited about. And that will be on November 21st from 10:30 to 12. And I'm working on an RSVP form that'll request some information that'll help us make the workshop a little bit more tailored. And we are also continuing technical assistance with a few agencies and moving forward with the working group. So short and sweet, let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you very much. I was wondering, so for the evaluation, for the workshop that's coming up, who is the intended invitation list for, aka can board members come? Or, actually, that could create a meeting problem if we're there. So just wanted to, if you could share more about how that's coming together.
Yes, so the anticipated audience is agency staff who are involved with program evaluation in some way. And I was talking with Jacinda earlier about having board members join, and we're going to brainstorm and see how we can make it work to be effective in that way. Because we think it's important information for everyone so that everyone's on the same page. So if we're advising agencies to use a certain strategy, that you all are aware of what recommendations we are giving them. So if you're reviewing the proposals, you're like, what are they doing? And it's the evaluation team. So we'll keep talking and brainstorming and make sure that it's an effective workshop for everyone. And we'll stay in touch throughout that process.
Perfect. Thank you. Any other board discussion and questions? All right. Seeing none. Thank you again for all of your work. It's been so, so helpful to really have this come from agencies and their needs and to, you know, just see all of the different things that are coming together from this. So thank you once again for all of your work and for sharing with us tonight. So next we have an update on the Disability Resource Expo. And I want to share that that is also this Saturday, October 26th. So I will defer to Lynn to share more about the expo.
I would like to defer immediately to Kim Bowdry and Chandra Somerville to explain the expo. Like you can race to the microphone. If you guys aren't available or don't want to talk about it, I can do it. But
I can. I was assisting with the volunteer coordination and just letting you all know that this is a heavy lift for volunteers. And so I know that we are in still need of some people for the afternoon shifts. So if you know of any people, just do this last push for that 2:30 until 4, I think, is when we do need assistance. And so you can just look at the sign up genius, and I'll put it in the chat as well, so that we can get you added to the list. Thank you.
Or what? Thank you very much, Chandra and Kim. If you have updates too, please share.
I don't have much else to add. You mentioned the expo is this Saturday. It is from 11 to 4 at Marketplace Mall. Sorry, I have an audience now. Not just you guys, but a family member came. As Chandra stated, we are looking for some extra volunteers. I do think the load back into the storage facility is another need for some help, and that is usually between like 4 and 5. Things are still moving along. Of course, it's, you know, a moving target, so everything will not be done until Saturday at 5, but things are going along pretty smoothly. One of the new pieces that they put in place this year is a exhibitor kind of meet and greet. So feedback that they have gotten from the past expos is that the exhibitors had wanted some time to be able to mingle with each other to learn about services. So they are doing that in the food court from, I still didn't learn the time this morning. I couldn't remember what time it was, maybe 9:45 to 10:45, something like that. But it's going to allow the exhibitors a chance to just share about their services and stuff like that. So.
All right. Thank you very much. Any board discussion or questions? I just wanted to mention, I know that the second annual Black Mental Health and Wellness Conference at Parkland is happening on the same day. And there is, you know, a period of time in which these events aren't overlapping. So, you know, please come out to both events. It will be fantastic. And thank you to everybody for your work in organizing the expo this year. So next, we will move along to successes and other agency input. So this is another opportunity for agencies and community members to share. So again, you know, all are welcome to share. I may limit individual participation to 5 minutes and our total time to 20 minutes. So I'd welcome anybody who may be online to let us know if you would like to speak, and anybody in person, you may approach the microphone. Is there anybody who would like to share? I think the remaining people in the room have. We have somebody online. Yay! Please feel free to share.
Hi, this is Jessica McCann from Regional Planning Commission. I just wanted to make a couple comments on behalf of the Youth Assessment Center. So thank you for just a moment to do that. The first thing that I wanted to share was just kind of the neat intersection that I'm seeing in the room tonight between so many advocates and supporters of youth in our community. Tracy Parsons and the Community Coalition have really been an advocate and a supporter of the Youth Assessment Center from day one, along with the Mental Health Board. Your support for our program. So I just wanted to kind of take that moment to thank you all. And then also, I'm not sure if many are aware, but Lincoln's Challenge, who I hope the cadets are potentially still in the room, really are the basis of the Youth Assessment Center's peer court program. They are our peer jurors and have been a really dependable source for that for us. And so I just wanted to take a moment to shout them out as well. So I just wanted to acknowledge those two things and just thank everyone in the room for your collaboration and your support of the Youth Assessment Center.
Jessica, it's Jen, and I did talk to the Lincoln's Challenge young people as they left, and I said that maybe we would like to hear from them at some point because they have really interesting things to say. Today?
Oh, yes.
I know Bonnie real well.
I agree. Thank you, Jen. They've been a huge support for the youth who are entering our peer court simulation, and I've just been really active and present and consistent and reliable. So we very much appreciate them.
Thank you very much for sharing. Is anyone else online or in the room interested in sharing?
It seems none, but I just want to, I'm very excited that we had, you know, five different agencies share this evening with us. I'm super excited that word is getting out that this is an opportunity to share these successes. We're not just saying, like, here, you can do this. Okay, we're moving on. Like, we really want to hear from everyone. So thank you. Next, we have board-to-board reports on page 120. This is where we list meetings that some board members attend in the community. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share in this area? I did want to share, Lynn and I attend the Student Mental Health Collaboration at the University of Illinois once a month. They have had a leadership change, so currently they're in the process of kind of rescheduling meetings for that, but hopefully soon we will have some updates. Any others? Seeing none, we will move to county board input. Do we have any county board input?
We meet in the same room tomorrow at the same time. I will be here. It's going to be lit.
Very good to know. And that is that was great. Jen, I know that you did not run for re-election, so I'm wondering when your last county board and mental health board meeting are.
November.
All right. Well, we will have to make an honoring event for our Jen Straub for all of your work. Thank you for that input. Next, we have Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input.
They met this morning, and similar, they did have a lot of agency input, I think. That was a really long time ago. They didn't have a presentation. It was fast, but they did talk about Engage Illinois, which someday I'm going to have to talk to you all about, which is a statewide coalition of family members of people with developmental disabilities who are the only people who ever can seem to change the system, and it takes a lot even for them to do so. So we have just a monthly update on what they're doing, and one board member is really tuned in to that, and so she provided us an update. I'm really happy they have not lost their momentum yet, and Kim Bowdry and I are trying to elevate them through our state and national association and the legislative advocacy that we may be able to support through that. So fingers crossed, but maybe we'll get a deeper presentation on that someday. Otherwise, we had approval of the DDB revised budget, and which is much simpler than the mental health board budget because it just pays a share of a whole bunch of things to the mental health board and the IDD special initiatives budget. So that one in November, when we get to that, their approval will already be included unless I have to make any further changes, and then I'd go back to them too. And they approved offering me a contract for the next 2 years. So those two things were done. There wasn't anything else, right? You guys, their utilization summary report, which used to look just like the one you have, had a whole bunch of stuff about outcomes, which was supposed to make it more interesting, but it actually made it more confusing. So now we're working on, like, what can we do with, like, just choice pieces of data, sort of more like the demographic and zip code study, you know, just if there's something that would be meaningful to do a deep dive into. We've got a lot of information, so that was it. Anyway.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, we have board announcements and input. Does anyone have any announcements or input? Seeing none, we only have one item left on the agenda, and that is to adjourn. So I will just mention that our next meeting is right here in the same room and on Zoom on November 20th, 2024, 5:45 p.m. And I hereby adjourn this meeting. Have a good night.
Recording stopped.